From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. A little bit of flub early. Get that out of the way before we got 2 hours of high school football talk here. It is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. They have been my day one sponsors, incredible supporters of student athletes throughout the Central Section, Central Valley. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. To my left, I'm looking at Sanger West, Madera. Madera had a really good showing last night on the football field. Liberty of Madera, Torres, Kerman to my right, Sierra, Fresno Christian, Hoover, Bullard, Sunnyside. It's a great location to have my show. Wouldn't want to do it anywhere else. And I actually face the counters as well, where they lay the Letterman's jacket out. They're working with actually, three different family groups right now, getting their Letterman's jacket suited and getting the patches on where they want, getting it customized. So this is the only place in the Central Valley where you can get your Letterman's jacket. First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. This is kind of a monumental weekend, so to speak. Because this is the first weekend into next week where all three phases of the football season is now upon us. You got your high school football. It's finished week two. Got college football. Big game on right now. Texas and Ohio State. Got Fresno State on tonight. Home game. 6:30 kickoff. And then you got the NFL starting on Thursday with those dysfunctional Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and boom, there it begins. For the last couple of years, I've seen these commercials where the husbands have, you know, said their goodbyes to their wives. Right? Kind of humorous on one side, but sad on the other. But yeah, that's just kind of the way it is. A lot of us are addicted to football, addicted to watching football, fantasy football, keeping track of standings and stats, rankings, and all that good stuff. So we are here for it, absolutely. If you are listening to the show for the first time, welcome. We cover all the sports that go on in the Central Section, mainly Fresno, Clovis, and the surrounding areas. We'll touch on the Cove schools. We're going to be touching on the Bakersfield schools today as well. But we love the content that we bring to you guys. Positivity. Right? That goes a long way. These kids work really, really hard on the athletic field, and we're happy to shine a light on all the good stuff. All right. I also got to thank our new sponsor. Thanks to Clovis Stone, Masonry, and Landscape Supply. Started sponsoring the show last episode. They are located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. And speaking of Herndon, so we broadcasted the Salinas and Clovis game. We're going to be breaking that down. Phil Benanti, Coach Pat Hill, who's amazing. You guys know him and love him. He's, you know, just a staple of the Central Valley. He's like the mayor. I mean, if he ran for mayor of Clovis or Fresno or whatever, he would win hands down. Just watching him walk into the stadium, everyone wants to come up and talk with him. We saw him down on the field. People were taking selfies with him. So just an honor and a privilege to call a game with Coach Hill. But driving to La Monica Stadium, Tim Simons Field at La Monica Stadium. I live just south of Chili's off of Herndon. You guys know the off-ramp, right? Chili's is right there. It's a little housing complex. Lived there for almost 25 years. So whenever I drive to Veterans or La Monica, right, La Monica off of Fowler Avenue, Clovis High School, go down Herndon. And yesterday something happened that I never thought was going to happen. I hit 11 straight green lights on Herndon Avenue. I was absolutely in the zone. I couldn't believe it. Right, Fresno Steve's where I turned off. Then I hit First Street, Millbrook, then the Tree Streets, cedar, maple, chestnut, willow, peach. Kept hitting them on green. I'm like, what is happening, man? Somebody else had just hit 11 red lights in a row somewhere in the world. But I hit 11 straight, then hit DeWitt, then Clovis Avenue. That's the big one. I can't remember the last time I hit Clovis Avenue on green. Sunnyside, and then Fowler, I got the red light, but I was turning right. So it was all good. So, man, I was feeling good. And it is funny. You know, I retweet football scores and information and highlights, and I actually tweeted that out that I hit those. Undersold myself a bit, but tweeted out that I hit all those lights on green, and that got the most likes and comments as any of the highlights that I tweeted. It was kind of funny. So I knew it was going to be a good night when I'm hitting all those lights on Herndon on green, and it was, because Clovis looked really, really good. This is already in week two, a well-oiled football team. Coach Pat Hill was very impressed. Phil Bonanni was on the call. It was his first time watching the Clovis Cougars. We did a couple other games last year. It's a different team from last year. They won 49-14. It was 42-7 at half, running clock in the fourth quarter. Deegan Rose, as advertised, 5 touchdown passes. A lot of things stood out in that game. The defense was one of them. We're going to be breaking that game down after the break. Tanvir Singh, who was producing the show, was also at the game, did the stats. I don't want to steal his thunder and throw out a bunch of stats because he did all the legwork. So we're going to be talking about the game, what impressed him as well. We're going to throw out some stats for you. But, yeah, Clovis looked really, really good. After the break, I'm going to be breaking down as many games as possible and giving you a full list of the games from last night. There were 9 games on Thursday night, and there were 55 games last night. So I'm going to do my best to roll through those as quickly and succinctly as possible and throw in some stats every once in a while if I got some information about those games. All right, so that's going to be after the break. So around 10:40-ish, Ridley High football coach Tony Gates is coming on. He's a great guy. He's been on the show a couple times. They played Sunnyside at Sunnyside on Thursday, and that game and the Hanford and Sanger game were real bangers on Thursday night. Hanford came away with a 39-35 win, but that Sunnyside and Ridley game was a back-and-forth game as well. Will Bacon, the quarterback, rushed for a school record 6 touchdowns in that one, including the game winner on 4th and 6. Actually, I'm not sure how long it was. It was probably 65 yards or so. 1:15 left. Took it to the house. Game-winning score for the Ridley Pirates. So congrats to them. You know, and you think of the rich tradition of Ridley High. School's been around for a long time. You know, I know there's Emmanuel High School there in Ridley, but it's the only public high school in Ridley. But, 6 touchdowns, that's a huge mark. So excited to talk to Coach Gates about that game and about his team. At the top of hour number 2, Justin Garza coach Yosef Ferris is going to join me. He's going to be here live at First String Sports. Guardians, they also played on Thursday. They are 2-0. Week 1, they beat Mesa Vera, 18-12. And then Thursday, beat Mount Whitney, 53-18. I always enjoy my talks with Coach Ferris. Kind of kindred spirits in a few different ways. But he had an amazing summer. It's his 4th time. Could be his 5th, but I think it's his 4th time being a part of the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellow. He's with the Atlanta Falcons, Chicago Bears last year, and this year got his dream spot. San Francisco 49ers. So he was involved in training camp for 3 weeks. Got to stay there all 3 weeks. I think there are 6 other coaches that had the coaching fellow. Was involved with the linebackers. Got to be in a preseason game. So I can't wait to hear about Coach Ferris's time with the San Francisco 49ers. And also, you know, those 2 wins that he's had so far this year with Justin Garza. All right, so I did mention the Fresno State game tonight, kickoff at 6:30 against Georgia Southern. When I saw the schedule last year, I got to be honest, I didn't think that Fresno State was going to be 1.5-point underdogs at home to Georgia Southern. This is only their second time, talking about Georgia Southern, playing a football game in California. And they are favored by 1.5. Surprised by that. We're not going to get into the Fresno State game too deep today, but, right, this is a big game. This is a big game. I think they're going to come out hitting. They're going to come out strong. They were manhandled by Kansas last week. A lot of people are talking, man, Kansas is just faster, crisper, better routes, better angles to the football. So we'll see. I'll be there in my seats. Get there early. Want the Red Wave to get there early and support their Bulldogs. All right, before we get the break, I got a list here. And thanks to friend of the show, George Ducati. He did a great job of putting this out there on social media. I got some guys from the Valley, either Fresno State or played high school ball here in the Central Valley, that are on NFL rosters / practice squads. So, you know, the big deal is, you know, did you make the 53-man squad or not? You're going to be assigned to the practice squad. So here's a rundown really quick. Taking about a minute or so, but I think it's information that you guys would find really, really, really neat, because we love to follow our guys into pro sports. So, you know, Devontae Adams with the Rams, New Jersey for him as far as the beginning of the year. And then, of course, Josh Allen. We talk about Josh a lot on the show. Fireball California, Deron Bland with the Cowboys again. Torrey Holton, Seahawks, Washington Union kid. He made the team. Congrats to Torrey. Made a few nice plays in the preseason. So, yeah, congrats to him. Jalen Johnson from Central signed that big contract last year with the Bears. Jalen McMillan from San Joaquin Memorial really came on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers second half of last year. Unfortunately, he got injured. I think some of you guys saw that on TV. That was kind of ugly. So he's going to be out for minimum eight games. So heal quick there, Jalen. Nico Romijo is with the Chiefs, made the team. Evan Williams, Packers. Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs. We know what he did in the Super Bowl last year from Central High School. Jake Haener did re-sign with the Saints. Is on the practice squad. Rattler was named the starting quarterback for there. Ronnie Rivers re-signed with the Rams. A couple kids that I watched, call them kids, right? They're grown men now, that I watched in high school. Kendall Milton re-signed with the Bengals. So good for him. Adrian Martinez was released by the Jets. Played in all of the three preseason games, but they released him. Boom, quick, right away. The San Francisco 49ers picked him up. He was on a plane. Boom, went to practice and was working out already. So Adrian Martinez is with the Niners. Good for him. Back in California where he belongs. Josh Kelly, practice squad with the Texans from Memorial. Jalen Cropper, practice squad with the Cowboys, Sanger / Buchanan. Adam Prentice is with the Broncos. I don't think he made the 53-man roster. Clovis High guy. Jordan Mims with the Titans. Aaron Mosby's with the Packers, Sanger High grad. Magdalena got released from the Chiefs, San Joaquin Memorial. I saw a couple practices. He made some really nice catches. I think he'll sign with somebody before the season is through. All right, just a little rundown. Some happy fun facts about some of the athletes that we're going to be rooting for. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be listing all the scores from last night and Thursday. This is a fun part of the show that I always love. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Never could go wrong with some Boston leading into talking about high school football. So I mentioned that we broadcasted the Salinas and Clovis football game last night. Big deal, right? Rodeo Bowl. Both towns have the oldest rodeos in the state of California. They play for this huge belt buckle. And I only saw it from a distance. Man, that thing probably weighed about 100 pounds. It was huge. So Clovis is going to keep the belt buckle. All the teams that both teams that participated, all the players get a personal belt buckle. So lots of cool traditions. They're going to keep rolling this game back and forth between Salinas and Clovis for a long time. But as far as the football game went, and it was an absolutely dominating performance from the Clovis Cougars. A lot of talk about them this year. They've been building to this season for a long time. Deegan Rose from starting his freshman year against Long Beach Poly at home and, getting beat up, right, to what that team looked like today or last night. What that team looks like today is a formidable football team that's going to have a serious, serious chance to win a Central Section championship. Defense was on point. Number 17 was our player of the game, Lolo. It's what they call him. It's his first name. The dude was a stud on the defensive line on the end. He was in the backfield pretty much the entire first half. Quarterback for Salinas, he had no chance. Even running the football, he was in on every play. An absolute stud. A bunch of other really good players on the defensive side, too. Caruso was a really good sophomore. They got a ton of sophomores that got playing time as well. Sophomore, seniors, a nice mix. So Clovis is going to be good for a while. Deegan Rose, 5 touchdowns, was pulled in the middle of the third quarter. Israel Briggs, a lot of talk about him. I'm glad Aaron Wilkins last week really, was honest about Briggs coming to Clovis. Said, yeah, the young man has had a hard time. And Clovis is a good place for him. And line him up at tight end, a little bit in the slot. And one of the question marks, right, is where they're going to put him, right? He's a tight end slash wide receiver, and he did a good job blocking as well. This team is going to be really, really tough this season. Their non-league schedule, I'm going to be honest, isn't really going to show us a whole heck of a lot. Now, the Central Grizzlies lost to Grant last night, 42-20. Central East came in as the number one team, deservedly so. Clovis was number two. Now, is last night's performance enough to leapfrog Central East? In my opinion, I don't think I can yet. Was Clovis impressive? Absolutely. Would I, have liked to see Central East compete a little bit more in that game? A lot of silly mistakes on their end against Grant, yeah. But still got to beat Central. And Clovis, I don't really see a ton of weakness with that team right now. Here to talk about it, got producing the show, Tanvir Singh. He was at the game last night with us, did a great job with the stats. I don't want to steal his thunder. He's going to have opportunity to throw out some stats right there. All right, so Tanvir, it's your first time watching Clovis this season as well. Last week you were able to watch Central East with us. Mm-hmm. Just what did you come away with? What was your overall impression of Clovis last night?
Well, it was kind of interesting because I'm a Clovis East grad, but this was the first time I was in La Monica to see a Clovis High game. And, the atmosphere was basically the same, basically as good as advertised. But what I really liked about Clovis High, and, this is across all of high school football, I think to an extent the QB and I think a receiver and a great D-line is the biggest keys for sustained success, especially in high school. And I think this game, for me, showed that out of Clovis High. I thought Deegan Rose played very well. And his ability to hit the middle of the field after, establishing the pass was really, really good. And then also those jet sweeps were able to tire out the Salinas defense going back and forth. So overall, I think the offensive side of the ball was a big game changer for Clovis High. On the defensive side of the ball, I know that you guys talked about how good the Clovis High D-line did in terms of the pass rush. But what I really liked about them, they stopped the run very early in the game, and I think that really didn't allow Salinas to get into a rhythm because they tried to rush the ball multiple times, and they just were not able to get it going on the ground. Now, obviously, they got it going in the pass later, but I think that's what was the key for Clovis establishing that lead early on in that game. So, overall, a great performance for Clovis High, and I am really looking forward to how they're going to do down the line in the later parts of the season.
Absolutely. And I want to throw out a couple other names here that really impressed. Carlos Young, number two, was all over the field.
Yep.
Caught a touchdown pass, was returning punts. You can see he was frustrated because he was really close to taking a couple to the house. He's very impressive. Sterling Edwards was as well, a sophomore. I mentioned Caruso's only a sophomore. Number 17, Lolo Clark, man, 6'4", 205 pounds listed on Max Preps. Interesting to know as well, Maddox Merrill did not suit up for that game, number 22. He's a senior. He's headed to Fresno State on a preferred walk-on. He wasn't suited up, but they certainly didn't miss a beat. And number 28, Adrian Dunkley, got some carries for the Cougars as well. He's only a sophomore, but, hey, it was a team effort. It was a dominating performance for sure. You got those stats up there, Tanvir?
Yeah, so I mean,
stats to throw out,
right? So if we're just going off of like the passing, rushing, and receiving, Deegan Rose, he went 11 for 15 for 215 pass yards. He had 5 pass TDs. Two of them were on jet sweeps, but the other three, I thought he looked very impressive in those. He also had a rush for 18 yards. Caruso, the running back for Clovis High, 10 carries, 95 rush yards, and a rush TD, along with 2 catches for 29 receiving yards and a receiving TD. And then Sterling Edwards, as you said, he had 3 catches, 45 for 2 touchdowns. I think an all-encompassing performance from this Clovis High offense.
I agree. And one throw really stuck out, man. Coach Hill was impressed. There was a blitz. Salinas player was in Deegan Rose's face, past the left hash mark, and he threw an absolute dime in the air on the money. I can't remember. I don't think that was Carlos Young. I don't think it was Briggs either, so I can't remember exactly who caught it, but it was definitely a Division I college level throw, right? A guy right in his face and just put it right on the money for about 35 yards.
Yeah, I think you get that sense when you see a quarterback that they are going D1. I just think that his poise to be able to hit his receivers between the safeties and the linebackers really showed that he has the touch to his pass that can convert to that next level. So great performance from Deegan Rose's perspective as well.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned you're a Clovis East grad. It's kind of weird for you to see all that blue on the sidelines and be watching that La Monica for you. But,
right.
I mean, the two games that you've been to, the Central and Inglewood game and then this one, man, isn't high school football just such a really, really cool experience, going from the cheerleaders and, right, the fire engine that Clovis High brings out and the bands and all that stuff? It's just a really cool atmosphere, isn't it?
I think it's really big here, especially in the Central Valley, because it is so close to what the fabric of the Central Valley is, you know, all these communities coming together. And that's what I love about high school football. I think I've actually grown to love high school football even more over the last couple of years. Last year, especially, I think it really caught my eye. And now going to these two games, especially, you know, the Central East game, new feel to that whole team. And now Clovis High is something that I'm very familiar with in terms of La Monica. I think it's been a great experience overall going to these games, and I think going to more is definitely in my future.
And you've watched the two best teams in the Central section back-to-back weeks, and you graduated college yesterday. Is that true as well?
Yes, I did.
All right,
big day yesterday, for sure.
Big day, absolutely. All right, Tanvir, thanks for coming on and sharing your thoughts about the Clovis and Salinas game. Appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate you.
All right. I am going to list. Oh, my gosh. Time is absolutely flying. All right. I'm going to do the best I can listing some of the games from last night. So there were 9 games played on Thursday. Bakersfield Christian took care of Tehachapi 49-7. Delano over West 41-35. Garza, we're going to hear from Coach Ferris around 11:05 today. Defeated Mount Whitney 53-18. Hanford and Sanger. I wish I could talk about this game a little bit more. Big win for Hanford, 39-35. That was a back-and-forth game. Just when I thought Sanger was going to wear down Hanford, I had a couple friends that were texting me updates. Hanford comes back with the final touchdown. Jaron Mao, the quarterback, threw for 302 yards and 5 touchdowns in that one. We mentioned the Reedley and Sunnyside game. We're hearing from Tony Gates, the head coach, after the break. They won 40-35. Shafter got a good team. Keep an eye on those Generals, 55-18 over Arvin. Bakersfield High beat Garfield down in Los Angeles, 34-0. So the Drillers are 2-0 on this season. All right, so Buchanan with a big win against Kennedy, 31-6. Why is that a big win? Well, right, a couple question marks about Buchanan. They played pretty good last week in the first half against Bakersfield. Delano, or the Kennedy from Delano, you know, a D3 school, had a similar type offense as far as Buchanan goes. But, yeah, nice win for Buchanan, 31 to 6. Clovis East and Kingsburg. Kingsburg is actually leading that game 10 to 6 at halftime, but the Timberwolves come back and win 27 to 10. Kingsburg's quarterback unfortunately went down just before halftime, and their offense was just absolutely sputtering after that. But congratulations to the Timberwolves. They are now they're now going to play. Let me look here. They're going to be playing Sanger. They beat Bullard the week before, so they got a tough game against Sanger next week. Clovis West, 43, Liberty 14. I got to be honest, I was surprised by that score. What a great win for the Golden Eagles. J.J. Howard, 5 touchdowns. Titus Denmer had a huge game, had a fake punt for a first down. R.J. Jefferson with a couple touchdowns as well. How about that? Last week they lost at Edison Huntington Beach, but this week, man, that's a really, really nice win. We're going to be talking with Trevor Horn around 11:40 about that game. Corcoran defeated Hanford West 21-0, Dos Palos 31, Chowchilla 7. Good win for the Broncos. Fireball shuts out Fowler 35-0. Garces Memorial defeated Paso 29-21. Golden West over Dinuba. They got a really good offense, 48-19. The team to keep your eye on. Hoover defeated Santa Maria 38-6. Emmanuel defeated Kern Valley 46-7. Kerman, 53 points. Last week they scored 53-19 over Carruthers. So that the Lions keep rolling after their D3 championship last year. Liberty of Madera 38, Mendota 13. Madera with another huge win, 49-12 over Torres. Their freshman running back, saw him last week run a 98-yarder. Well, he scored 4 more touchdowns. Estrada is his last name. He is an absolute dude. 4 touchdowns for a freshman running back. Keep an eye on that kid. All right, scroll down a little bit more here. Sanger West defeated Kalinga. Look at that, 7-0. Riverdale over Orange Cove, 28-6. Selma defeated Fresno, 26-21. Sierra Pacific, 36. Golden Valley, 6. St. Joseph shuts out Edison of Fresno, 28-0. Strathmore all over Avenel, 53-7. Tulare Union, actually, he scored 53. Oh, it says forfeit here on high school ratings. I didn't see that, so I don't know why it says forfeit. But at one point, according to Max Preps last night, it was 53-0 at one point in that game. Tulare Western beats CBC 12-7, low-scoring game. Washington Union, a little bit of a shocker, defeated Lemoore 34-21. Woodlake defeated Exeter 41-0. Bullard with a nice win over Mayfair down south, 15-9. Tyler Franklin scored the game-winning touchdown on the ground in that one. We mentioned Clovis Salinas, 49-14. And Grand and Central East, 42-20. I mentioned that, so Central East could have really sent a lot of waves in the state of California with the win there, but they fall at Grant. We'll see if they can bounce back next week. And what's going on with Frontier of Bakersfield? Lose to Liberty from Brentwood, 14-7. They've only scored 2 touchdowns in 2 games this season. We're going to ask Trevor Horn what's going on with Liberty, who was supposed to be really good this year and compete with the big boys. San Joaquin Memorial, nice win, 27-25 over Christian Brothers. And, yep, that'll about do it. Whew. A lot of scores. A lot of good football last night. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got Reed Lehigh coach Tony Gates. After the break, you're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. 2 hours of high school sports talk here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Herndon and Sierra. I hope you guys enjoyed, I don't know if you heard it or not, but I hope you guys enjoyed that Herndon story that I shared in the opening, my opener about hitting 11 straight lights on Herndon, which was unheard of, right? I've driven that Herndon Avenue eastbound so many times in my life and hitting on a green. So I don't know. Maybe those are the types of stories that people find funny and interesting and bring a little levity to sports sometimes. All right. We got head coach of Reedley, Tony Gates, on the show. Tony's been on the show a few times. Always enjoy my conversations with him. They are 2-0 on the season. I was following that incredible game against Sunnyside on Thursday that they came away with a wild victory, 40-36. So congrats first on that win, Coach, and good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing well, and I got to tell you, Danny Jimenez says to tell you hi.
Danny's the best, man. Danny's an old-time Reedley guy. My mom is actually a graduate of Reedley High as well. So, yeah, Danny's a great guy, and I'm always happy to receive tweets from Danny about the good things that are happening in Reedley area. So tell me about that. Let's kind of go into the lead-in, what you guys were expecting at Sunnyside. So it's a away game. You're playing in a really nice stadium there at Sunnyside. They share with some other Fresno Unified schools. Right? Like, just talk about the preparation that you guys had for them. Obviously, a new team in Sunnyside, new coaching staff, new philosophy, new system. But what was the game plan going in?
Yeah, well, you know, you said it. Sunnyside's been a proud program. They've done well in the last couple of years. They've had, Tanner Wilson last year was their quarterback for 4 years. And we played a pretty consistent. Obviously, when we were the NYL, we were in there with them. And I think about 3 years in a row, it came down to them and us for the league title. And we stole one from them. They stole a couple from us. But, big school, a lot of athletes to choose from. Didn't know with the new coach if the scheme would change or anything like that, and really didn't. And I'm just really proud of our kids because we've kind of overcome some adversity. We had to play that game on a Thursday. The week prior, we had to play on a Thursday out at Orange Cove due to some stadium renovations. And so these kids have already overcome some pretty dramatic changes. And, short week, it was a hot week, and they just really came through. Last week, the Monday and Tuesday were the two best practices I think we've had a week, and I think the players would tell you they were the toughest practices we've had. And I'm just so proud of how they performed under pressure.
And your week one win was against Fresno High. I think I wrote something down wrong. So Fresno High, you beat them in week one 47-6, and then the Sunnyside win 40-35. Okay, so I read it on Twitter, thanks again to Danny Jimenez, and saw the video. But just kind of explain the entire evening, what you saw unfold in the football field, especially that incredible game that Will Bacon had for you.
Yeah, so we knew we'd be evenly matched. The only good thing about playing on Thursday, we were able to go and watch live Sunnyside and Madera. And, there's nothing like watching live reps. And so we knew we had a good game plan going in, but we also knew that, I call it a 50-50 game. If we play our game, it'd be all right. But, if we mess up a little bit, we could easily lose it. We kind of got behind a little bit. We threw a couple picks, and we had to let them return a kickoff. So we found ourselves down 28-20 at half. But we all looked at each other, and we said, man, if it weren't for this, it weren't for that, right? But really, we felt like we were in control of the game, and we just needed to overcome some of those mistakes that we made. And so we just kids went right back to work. There wasn't any doubt in the locker room. It was just, they were ready to roll. And, defense did a great job. We had a really good game plan going in defensively. And, we found ourselves with the ball in the fourth quarter down and about 60 yards to go. And I had no doubt with Will Bacon and what he's capable of. The kids just knew we were going to go down and score and win this thing. It was fun. It was a great high school football game.
Six touchdowns on the game, six rushing touchdowns for Will Bacon. All right, so just kind of take us through. I think it was fourth and six. I'm not sure what yard line he ran his touchdown on, his game-winning touchdown. But just kind of walk us through the play call and what you saw on the field.
Yeah, so Will's most dangerous when he rolls out. So we like to roll him out. And, on our play script, our go-to for the third and long, fourth and long type of stuff is a rollout pass. And because it gives us a dual threat. If something open, Will's going to hit it, but he also has the ability to run. And that's exactly what happened. He hit the edge. He saw an opening. And I've said all year, if he gets past linebacker level, there's a really good chance this kid scores. And, that run was amazing and obviously won the game for us, but there was a run he had earlier where he reversed field and scored a touchdown. And I haven't seen that since Ryan Workington was here at Reedley, that type of speed and that type of agility. But Yeah, Will's performance was amazing, and you got to understand, week one, he had 5 touchdowns, and get this, he threw for 2, ran for 2, and caught 1. So it's he's playing on a different level, and he's got kids around him to support him. This is probably the since I've been at Reedley, the best skill position group I've had. We've got some really good receivers that can get downfield to catch the ball. We've got those same kids that are usually playing defense, and they're a little nasty. Like they like to come up and hit, and we can run a little more man coverage than we have in the past. So, you know, we're sitting pretty good. I'm real proud of how they're working, how the staff is preparing them.
That's great. You guys are going to be taking on Orosi. I'll get to that game in a little bit. I want to know more about Will Bacon, and just you mentioned that he likes to roll out, and when he gets to that next level past the linebackers, there's nobody that's going to catch him. From the quarterback position, how many designed runs are those, or is just him just making things happen?
No, we have quite a few designed runs with him. Obviously, we know what we have with him, and he scored several times on some QB misdirection runs that are designed, and he's very comfortable with that. His reads are really good. He's dialed in on what the defense is giving him, and he's just gotten so good. I think, you know, when you are blessed to play varsity for 3 years or sometimes even 4 years, I think your senior year, the game just slows down for you, right? And you're almost become a coach out there, and I can just see that everything's slowed down with him now. He's making reads. He's letting the defense get themselves in a bad position and then taking advantage of it. So we have quite a bit of our offense designed around his ability to run the ball, and obviously his ability to throw it as well. But, he's quite a gift to us.
So you mentioned Ryan Warkentin.
He's like a 4.9 GPA, if that's possible, and he's going to be an engineering or a STEM major, so it's like having a coach back there.
Absolutely. Oh, God. We definitely love to hear those GPAs and college in the future for the student athletes. All right, so you did mention, I want to talk about Will's family as well, but you mentioned Ryan Warkentin and the great senior year that he had, just an absolute gem of a kid on the roster at Fresno State at running back. Like, comparison, I know you don't want to compare them necessarily, like, you know, as people, because they're both great kids, but like running styles wise, are they kind of similar? Obviously, Ryan was a running back and Will's a quarterback, but like I saw some similarities between the two.
They are. They both have top end speed, which is good. Which got Ryan where he's at, and potentially Will as well. They're both students of the game, and I think that's a little bit underrated. Both of them knew the offense inside and out. I would say that Will is a little bit more shifty. He's a high jumper. He's a really good high jumper, and those legs are springy, and so he'll spin a little more and jump cut a little more than maybe Ryan did. But what they both have in common is that top end speed. Once they get going, we scrimmaged Sanger West, and Will ran an outside run, and I thought, a couple guys got an angle on him, and he hit that next speed. If you've seen it, you know it. And yeah. I just told my staff, I go, yeah, he's got that top end stuff. So yeah, both of them, a lot of similarities. I think Will's a little bit more shiftier. Like I said, his legs are springy, man. He can jump. I think he high jumped like 6'4" this year.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's impressive. Sounds like you got a really good athlete on your team. So on social media, when those plays were posted, a lot of people mentioned, I remember Will's dad doing the same thing. I think he's on staff, Ezra. Has he been helping you?
So funny how life comes around. I actually was one of his coaches when he was in high school. I was his coach on his staff. And, dad was a good high school quarterback for us, played at Reedley College, and then got an opportunity to play back at Benedictine back in Kansas. And so, yeah, the lineage is there. And, you know, Will and his younger brother Kyle, brother Max, they've come up in a football family. So they can dissect plays. His brother Max does my stats for me, and he was with a working team that whole time. They were buddies. And so Max would break down film. And so that whole family is a football family. There's no doubt.
That's awesome. All right. So let's talk about the team a little bit more. You mentioned you got some really good skill players. What's the ceiling for this team? Or what have you been really trying to preach to this year's team?
you know what? Again, we've overcome some stuff, and it's one of those life lessons where you look at them and you say, it's out of our control, boys, so don't worry about it. And that's a great life lesson. And so we just have taken that mantra. And these kids, they're tough. I call them scrappy, and I don't think they like that. They don't. This generation doesn't quite understand what that means. But, you know, they are just, we're not huge, but we like to hit. We're kind of nasty about hitting. We kind of really like hitting folks, and there's no quit in us. O-line is just, you know, last week I was so impressed with them. Such a tremendous improvement from week one to week two. And, you know, everything's a work in progress, but they are workers. We've worked hard all year in the weight room. We've had a really good spring and summer, and it's just good to see a little bit of hard work pay off with them.
So next week you're going to be taking on Orosi, who looks really good this year. Selma obviously coming off of their Central Section Championships. And you got Mount Whitney, Hanford West. And then, hey, just from my perspective, you got some really tough games the last four. You got Kerman, Washington Union, Kingsburg, and CBC. Right, obviously, you're not thinking too much about those games. You probably started the process against Orosi. But when you are preparing for a team like Orosi, who, right, they're always tough, and they're well-coached as well. Like, what's the game plan going into that game?
Yeah, you like that schedule?
All right, I do. As a fan, absolutely, I love that schedule.
So Coach White's been there for a long time. Rosie, this is a tremendous challenge for us because you hit the nail on the head. Coach White is a tremendous demander of good tough football, and they just line up and they got a fullback, and everybody who wants the fullback to come back, well, watch the Orosi film, because they'll line up at that fullback and try to hit you in the mouth with a lead block. Mm-hmm. And those linemen are just foot to foot coming off the ball. And this, when you fall asleep, they'll try to throw it deep on you. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge. You know, they don't run a lot of plays, but they run them good and they're tough. And the other key to that is they eat a lot of clock. You know, high school football, 12-minute quarters. We played them last year at their place, and I think we had the ball three times total in the first half, and the third possession was with like 2 minutes left in the half. So it really puts pressure on your offense to be good and be consistent and move that ball down. Obviously the defense, it's you know, it's 3 yards, 2 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards kind of deal. And so we're just going to have tough kids with a good game plan, and just know that at the end of this thing, man, we're going to need some ice for sure.
Talking with Tony Gase, the head football coach at Reedley High School. We got about another minute or two with Coach. All right, so I need to know more about these renovations. So I don't know anything about this. Is the stadium going through some changes right now? What's happening over there in Reedley?
Yeah, it's fantastic. So a few years ago, we got new bleachers on the north and south end. Really nice, really nice. We just so many good improvements to the school in the last couple of years. I mean, I can go on to other parts of campus, but obviously football stadium is where we spend our time. So our turf, it was time. It was time to get new turf. And our district did a really good job, went out, did a national search, wound up going with a company that puts in turf for Alabama and Michigan. So I feel real confident on that. We were due to be done for the first game, but, you know, construction projects, it happens, right? You get delayed. I think there was a delay in supply of some material. So a little bit of a delay, but they are working night and day. The district's out there holding them to the fire. And literally those guys are working from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. every morning, including weekends, to get it done. I just walked it a few minutes ago. It looks fantastic. Kids are excited. We're fingers crossed that we're going to be home this Friday for Orosi. Really are. But we'll see how it goes. We're back out in Orange Cove, and we feel comfortable out there as well.
All right, good stuff. I've been to that stadium a lot. That was, you know, back in the 80s. That's where Emmanuel played their home games too. So I'm very familiar with that stadium. I haven't been there in a while, so I'm sure it looks a lot different from what I remember. All right, Coach, we got another minute with you. What do you love? And I love our conversations every time we have them, but what do you love about high school football and Reedley football in general?
You know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me. You know, people go, hey, how's your team look this year? And I kind of stole this from Mike Vogt when I was on his staff. And he always says, well, I'll tell you in 10 years. Because, you know, you just get the opportunity to help young men develop as young men and learn you know, accountability, responsibility, hard work pays off in life. And Greeley is a tremendous town. I have a lot of support from my school and my admin. And just the opportunity to, I mean, that game Thursday was as fun as it gets, right? You're down in the fourth quarter, and you're driving, and at the end, everybody's smiling. And that's so fun. And that's what I really like. I like just the camaraderie with the boys and teaching them good hard life lessons through the beauty of what I think is the greatest game in the world.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. You're making a difference in kids' lives, and a lot of people see it, and they appreciate it. So, Coach Gates, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you do everything you do for high school sports, man.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break, and around 11:05 or so, Yosef Ferris is going to come on the show. He's coming here to First String Sports, and I always love talking to Coach Ferris. We're going to have a good time. Hope you guys enjoy it, too. You're listening to it all in the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Love to talk about high school sports, all the good stuff that's going on in the Central section. Football season is here. We are here for it. This is what the first weekend where got high school football on Friday, college football on Saturday, and we got NFL on Thursday, and then boom, that's going to start the massive 4-day stretch of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of football. And then, of course, the preparation, all that stuff, the talk about football. And we are definitely here for it. We love to talk about all the good things, all the good games that are going on in the Central section. All right, so Yosef Ferris is here to my left, live here at First String Sports. Bring him on every year. Kind of, it's like clockwork, huh? It's like every time around, you know, what, late August, you're coming on the show.
Yeah, no, it's an honor just to be out here, so thank you for keeping having me.
Well, you had a great summer. We're going to get into that in a second, but you had a game on Thursday, took care of Mount Whitney. You guys won your opening week as well. So last night, like when you got a Thursday game and you got, you know, quotes, air quotes, a free Friday, which isn't free during this season, like, what do you do? Are you breaking down family? Are you going to watch another game? Are you hanging out with your staff, your family? What's going on a Friday?
Well, I guess it just depends on the circumstances. For this particular Friday, you know, my summer was pretty jam-packed. And then as soon as I got back, it was scrimmage week, then game week, then a game week where we traveled to Sacramento. And then coming back, we were on a short week. So not a lot of time to have seen my family in the last month and a half, I'd say. So I made sure that me and my wife, you know, we went to Ruth's Chris and you know, had their happy hour menu, which is amazing. Not a cheap plug, but
that's
got,
right.
They got a great happy hour menu. And we hung out and then went home and hung out with the kids. And you know, I followed the scores on Max Preps. But I had coaches over at some other games scouting that were giving me updates. But I really just wanted to make sure I had some time with my family.
Absolutely. Right. And so how old are your kids now?
My little girl, she's 8, and my little boy is 3.
3 already.
Yeah.
When your boy, wasn't he born like in, was he born in the summer during football season?
No, he was born December 20, okay. 29th. And he was born, golly, he's 3. So what is that? 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds so, right.
Yeah, he's growing up. He's a little football player running into the couches and stuff. And my daughter, she loves football, so she's at every game running around. Football family.
And one of your favorite things is getting that hug, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Getting that hug after the game.
Yeah.
Win or lose, you're getting it.
Win or lose. It just changes your perspective on things. Remember, make the main thing the main thing, and that's God and my family. So.
Absolutely. All right, so just kind of walk us through that Thursday game. So you had a tough one against Mesa Verde. That's up in – where is that
Citrus
exactly?
Citrus Heights up in Sacramento.
Citrus Heights. Yeah. 18-12. Let's talk about that game for a little bit, right? It's kind of a grinding out game.
It was – you know what? We kind of had control of the game the whole time.
Okay.
I don't know if we were getting homered or if we were just being undisciplined. I guess the film can tell that story. But They were calling so many penalties. I mean, we had maybe 300 yards in penalties in that game, which was horrible. But it's funny how those penalties just disappeared, you know, Thursday night. We only had two. So I don't know. I don't want to be a victim for that. But that game was just a little different. We never were in threat there. We pretty much controlled that game. But we just kept getting behind the sticks, and it just kept dragging out. But I thought there was a lot of great things that happened in that game. Number one, we traveled our team the night before. We stayed in a hotel. The kids got a chance to bond, and we did a lot of, like, you know, kind of like next level, like college, NFL, like team meetings, college film review. Had a great hotel that took care of us. Broke out the Xbox, played some Madden and some NCAA for the kids. The kids got a chance to just bond. Woke up the next morning and breakfast and meetings and then walkthroughs and then went to the game. And because of the heat, everything got pushed back. So it was just a weird atmosphere. But
did you kick off like at 8?
Kicked off at 8:30.
Oh.
So our JVs kicked off at 6. But all in all, it was a great experience. Just travel to get that in there, the bonding aspect of it. As far as from the game, you know, we established the run. They were more physical than we thought they were going to be on film, but we were never in any danger there. We probably could have put up some more if those penalties weren't there. But it was a game that we needed to get out of our system.
Pre-snap penalties, holding penalties, everything, right? If you say 300 yards, that's everything.
It was like pre-snap. you know, they were saying our guys were over the ball and they weren't. You know, and we're watching it on film, and I don't know. I don't want to get into the ref blame game, but it just was a little strange.
A little sus.
Let's just put that way. Yeah.
All right. So Matt Whitney on Thursday. You mentioned short week, Thursday game, 53-18. Like, guys are just rolling offensively. Just like your guys are just clicking.
Yeah, it was, two of those scores. One came on a kickoff return late, and the other score came off of the last drive, last play with all of our backups in. So, you know, our starters only gave up 6 in that game. So it was a pretty dominant performance across the board. We were super excited to see that because the kids have been working extremely hard. But, you know, the game plan was stop the run, run the ball, control the clock. You know, that's kind of how football games are won. And then take our shots when we needed to take shots. And it just, you know, we had 8 drives, scored on all 8. And it was a really impressive performance just from a physical standpoint. You know, we want to establish a physical nature in our run game, and we want to establish a physical nature in our run defense. And I think both sides of the ball kind of rose to the task in that, and it was fun to watch. We got a good quarterback, Bowden Smith, who led the game. I think he was 8 of 10, you know, and so he's 80% completion rating. He had 2 touchdowns, one rushing, one throwing, and he's just such a leader. You know, he's just such a leader. He's just such a natural leader. Has a calm presence about him. And the kids really rally around him and really respect him. So it's fun to watch him go. And then I don't know if our running backs, we're still working on our stats, but Samir Muhammad had a tremendous game. I think he had 3 rushing touchdowns, probably over 200 yards. And we're still working on those stats. I don't know them right off the back of my hand. But then Elijah Maldonado and Tremaine Moore, two other running backs. That running back room is really good. Plus, our receiving core, you know, with Jewel Jones and Nate Rodriguez, J.C. LaFell, Sam Chaddick, and you know, a bunch of the other guys that get in there. It's a fun team to watch. But, you know, we got to approach every day like, you know, we just got to get 1% better, you know, and we're nowhere near where we want to be, which is a good thing because you don't want to be that early. So we got some growing still to do. We got a tough schedule the rest of the way. There's no gimme on there. And we just got to just keep taking it one day at a time.
So those kids you mentioned, I've seen seniors. This, like last year, what were their roles? And then how, right, expectations and going into their senior year, they got to be big.
Yeah. So, you know, last year we had a ton of adversity and these kids kind of lived through that. And, you know, when you're put in uncomfortable situations, which we all were put in last year. If we always say, if you're put in, you know, to have extreme growth, you know, you got to be put in uncomfortable situations, but you got to protect your spirit, you know, because if your spirit goes, then those uncomfortable situations will beat you. Well, these guys protected their spirit throughout that deal, and so there was tremendous growth just from them as individuals and players. And so we had extreme growth from that senior group. That was a part of what we went through last year and the adversity, and it made us better individuals. It made us better, just better football players and just people. And so you're starting to see this team really just like glue together. And it all starts with our quarterback, Bowden, who really is the glue of this group. They've been following him since they were in middle school. So he's a tremendous guy to have. He's like an extra coach for us. But yeah.
Is he a big kid? Like, he's got a good arm. I mean, yeah. This is game one stats, right? 12 of 15 for 180.
Yep.
So he knows where to go with the football.
Yep. Super intelligent. You know, he's super intelligent, super savvy. Baseball player too. I think has the ability to play at the next level as a quarterback in a certain area, a certain niche for him. But he understands football. He studies the game. He's not a roller coaster of emotions. He's very, very just even keel, and you know, and that's what you need in a leader, you know. And he has such a natural, he just has such natural leadership. Reminds me of Colt Nelson that I had at Madera, you know, who was probably one of the best quarterbacks I've ever been around. But Bowden reminds me a lot of him, is from an attitude and approach and not letting the game be too big and making the main thing the main thing.
Muhammad, right, huge game in the week one, 160, you said, had three touchdowns in Thursday's game. Scat back, big guy. Give him the ball in jet sweep. I mean, like, what type of player is he?
He's a downhill runner.
Okay.
You know, we're a downhill run team. That's kind of the new identity we're really trying to establish here. He's a bruiser, and he's going to find his way, and he's going to take more than just an arm tackle to bring him down. He'll keep his legs moving. He's hard worker, hard runner. Comes from a family. I played with his uncle at Bullard. His uncle's older than me. His uncle played for Tim Randall in those years. But he was a monster of a running back too. You know, so there's some pedigree there for him in that room. And then Elijah Maldonado, same thing. Elijah Maldonado is just an extremely smart player. Plays both sides of the ball for us and runs the ball extremely hard. And then Tremaine Moore, who's a sophomore, I see a lot of potential in him. You know, I've been around a lot of great running backs from the Bullard days, and he reminds me of some of those guys. So he's got a huge upside.
Defensive wise, like, what are you guys running, or what do you want to say about your defense? Because you're kind of a defensive minded coach.
Yeah,
agree.
Yeah, I am. I am calling the plays now.
There you go. All right.
Offense. No, on offense.
On offense.
Yeah, Justin Nass still our assistant head coach, and he's still calling the defense. He does a tremendous job, and I think he has the makings of a great defense. I think our D line, with Aiden Arredondo and Zion Frazier and Jaden Austin and J.J. Smith, I think that's one of the top D lines in the area. And I think they're going to protect a lot of the back end and as far as pass rush and whatnot. And I think they'll protect our linebackers. But those guys are not fun to block, especially Zion Frazier. And, you know, we're getting our butts whooped by him every day in practice. And then we're wondering if it's us. And then he goes out and he, you know, it's nice to see that.
It's not just us.
So we're excited about that defensive front. Coach Nast, who's, I think, one of the top defensive coaches in the whole area. I think he's bringing an energy, and he's bringing kind of a culture and a grit to that side of the ball, and we're excited. We're excited for what we got defensively.
All right, so Yosef Ferris, offensive coordinator this year, right? Like you said, downhill running, that's going to be your thing. You got a quarterback that's smart, can make some plays as well. Like philosophy-wise, or – like, what are you really trying to establish as being the offensive coordinator?
Well, you know, so we've always ran the same system ever since we got to Madera. So Rustin Pickett, you know, we ran that system. Then Kenny Polinelli came in. We ran the same system. It's always been the system that we've established. Went to Bullard. We had, you know, when I was with Donnie that one year, we ran the same system with Colby Hunter. and A-Rex, and it's a spread RPO tripod system kind of deal. George ran it with us in here, so the system has never changed. It's always been there, but now it's like I'm getting behind the wheel, which, you know, this will be my first time calling an offense. But I've always had a grasp of the system. But now it's like you start to get into those games, and you're a defensive coach your whole pretty much career, and you start thinking about getting the defense rest and ball control, and then you get, and then you know all those years with A-Rex and stuff. So now it's like we kind of gone to a little bit more pistol downhill power with the same principles as far as we're gonna RPO off of it. We're gonna control the linebackers. We're gonna kind of control the second level with the play action, but we are gonna be a little bit more downhill and really try to establish that run. That's what we want to do. We want to control the clock, run the ball, take our shots when we need to take our shots. And from being a defensive guy, there's 18 areas of the field the defense has to defend, and they got 11 guys to do it. So they're giving up something. So we want to find that and keep working that.
So you got Kerman next week, then Union, Lompoc. That's an away game, so that's going to be a little bit of a drive for you guys. Then you get the bye week, and then CMAC. All right, so Kerman, mm-hmm. Know what they did last year,
yep.
Putting up points again. They got a quarterback and all that stuff. Coach Jenkins, he's a dude as a coach as well. Like, game plan, what are you looking forward to that game? That game's going to be away as well.
I mean, Kerman's always is kind of like where we want to measure our bar right now, because they're the top dog, and we're approaching it as such. Jenkins coached for me. He was my defensive coordinator when we opened the school, and he coached for me a bunch of years as the DB coach at Bullard when I was the DC. So we know each other very well, and then his Anthony McCoy, his offensive mm-hmm. coordinator, coached with me at Madera, and I coached Anthony at Bullard, and he's probably one of the best. He's probably one of the best high school players I've ever seen play when he was going. So ton of respect for Kerman. We both know each other inside and out. They know my system. I know they're running similar what we ran when he was with us. So it's kind of like that old Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. But it's always fun to go against those guys, because Coach Jenkins is such a culture coach. He creates a great culture. He's such a motivator, and he really gets those kids to play hard. And we have nothing but respect for him. But, you know, we want to go in there and compete and run, play our kind of football, and just kind of let the score take care of itself.
Who haven't you coached with?
I don't know.
My gosh. When I coach with him, and I coach his uncle, and I play with his uncle, and I coach with him.
One thing I'm super proud of is my coaching.
It is. You know, it's
as,
awesome.
As a head coach, you know, I pride myself on getting young guys to come in and who want to be head coaches, or even older guys that kind of had their shot and they want to come back and recharge. I love that people say that go to Ferris, you'll recharge. He'll teach you He'll get you to where you want to be if you want to be a head coach. And I want guys that want to be head coaches. You know, Rustin Pickett, he went off to Hoover, and then now he's at Rigetti. And then Kenny Polinelli took over at Madera for me. And he's just, you know, he grew so much, and he's doing such a great job out there. And then Sean Kilduff, who went out to Fowler, he did a tremendous job out there. They should have never got rid of him. And now he's at North with Colby. And then, you know, you had Nagel, who was with me at Bullard, and then he went to Clovis East. And then George came back, and he was with me, and now he's at Clovis East. And I'm just so proud of those guys. And I think the next guy up is going to be Justin Nast. I think Nast is going to be a head coach somewhere, and he's going to do a tremendous job. And then, you know, we'll see who the next guy is. But I love guys who come in and want to be head coaches, and I'd like to think that I help them a little bit along that way in that path. And just push them out into the world. I'm really proud of my coaching tree. I think that speaks volume to a head coach when you can get leaders to follow you and grow, and then they go on and they become leaders, and they take stuff that they learn from you, and you just watch it grow at each program. You know, I was especially proud of Clovis East with Nagel, and now George is there, so it's just kind of what's going on. And you know, Donnie has a tremendous tree too, so you see that. You know, he has me and Biggs in there. It's just, I think that's cool. I think that's Coach.
It is. Absolutely. There's a little bit of Coach Ferris in all these schools that we're looking at in the spreadsheet. It says a lot about you.
I forgot Kerman. You know, Jenkins, he coached. He was D.C. for me, so now he's out there. So it's just, it's fun.
It is. What's fun for you, and I love talking about this every time we get together, right? You had a good summer.
I did.
You had a good summer. So why don't you just set it up for everybody? I tease it a couple times in the show, but you're able to take part in the highest level of football in the world. That's at the NFL level. So just walk us through how that all came about again this year.
Well, so this was my fourth year doing the Bill Walsh Diversity Internship. It's probably the most competitive coaching internship in the world. There's 32 teams, and each team takes a different amount of people, and it's just such – they get over 1,000 applications each team. And this year I was blessed and fortunate enough to be with the San Francisco 49ers, who was my favorite team growing up. It was just an honor, you know. It was just something that kind of came about word of mouth. My connections from the Falcons kind of connected me with the Niners, and I didn't even really interview for this one. They kind of just had heard about me word of mouth and brought me in, and I was there for 3 weeks, and I worked with the linebackers on the defensive side. So I was with Fred Warner and those guys, and Johnny Holland, who I think is the best linebacker coach in the league, and K.J. Wright, who was his assistant, and then Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley. It was just an amazing opportunity, and it's one that I'll never forget, you know. Made tremendous connections there. It was once in a lifetime, you know, really. And so ton of great football being taught in that building. It's the original building, you know, where Bill Walsh and those guys walked. Got on the sideline, family came out to some training camps, which was amazing for them because I'd been in Chicago and Atlanta. They really hadn't got a chance to come see me do this. It was amazing for them. Preseason game, they got to come and sit close, and my mom was in VIP on the 50-yard line, and was right there. You know, her first NFL game ever, my dad's first NFL game ever, my kid's first NFL game ever, and there I am on the sideline with the 49ers, so... made huge connections with Gus Bradley, Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan was class act, John Lynch was class act. They all were super kind and nice, and I can't speak enough about that organization, and it is my favorite football team. So.
I know. It is your favorite football team. All right, so when they handed out your gear, what did they hook you up with? When you put that polo on for the first time, looked yourself in the mirror, what's going through your mind?
It's like surreal. They walk you in the locker room, there's your name on a locker, you know, and then they got your 49er backpack with your name on it, and you got all your gear in there,
the goal, I knew I never was going to play at the next level because God just didn't give me the physical attributes to do that, but the goal was always to backdoor and get in the league somehow through coaching. Well, time goes on. You don't really know what's going to happen. You know, you're coaching 23 years, and then all of a sudden this NFL internship starts popping up, and people are really putting your name out there, and it's continuing 4 years in a row, which it's really hard to even get one. And then you start saying, man, this can happen. And then you're with your favorite football team, and it's just like, I don't know, man. God is good all the time. It's a dream. It's just a dream come true. You know, I've touched the highest level 4 times. I've counted the weeks. I've been in the NFL for 2 months, a little bit over 2 months, and not a lot of people get a day in there. And so I'm blessed either way. Whatever happens, God is good.
Is that an ultimate goal for you?
You know, I'd be lying if I said no. You know, I would love to coach in the league. But right now the main thing's the main thing, and that's Justin Garza football. So we're focused on them and bringing back what we've learned from the league to them. But, you know, the league is something that's always been in the back of my mind.
So you're in the meeting rooms with the linebackers. Like, what are you guys chopping up? Or just kind of give us a little glimpse of what that looks like.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of it's film, digesting the practice film. So, you know. After practice, you get your lunch, and you go sit in the defensive room, and then that with the staff, and that's a 2-hour meeting. Then immediately after that, you go to position meetings, and that's another 2-hour meeting. So you're 4 hours of meeting watching the same film, and then you go out to walkthroughs.
for special teams, and then install for the next day. And so a lot of the position meetings is, you know, Johnny's going to go over teach tape, and he's going to go over like corrections and whatnot. And then at the end, we'll go over the install for the walkthrough, and then the install for the next day. But you know, those guys are so in tune with everything that, you know, Fred Warner is, you know, helping coach guys up, and D Winters is helping coach guys up. But, you know, it's a room of five, with the practice squad maybe being eight. But, you know, when that wasn't a huge room as far as like they had 12, I think. And, you know, they're just watching film, going through corrections. And then after walkthroughs, the rookie meetings start. So like, the rookies would come in, and we'd meet, like me and KJ would meet with like Nick Martin and Stone Blanton. And we would just go through stuff that they needed to go over. And I was super grateful that KJ allowed me to do some coaching and chalk in that meeting. Because I think he saw, you know, I did know exactly kind of what I was talking about and whatnot. And so it was a huge opportunity and a huge ability to just grow and just be with those guys. And, you know, they say they break every huddle with best in the world on three. And I think Fred Warner is the best in the world at linebacker. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing athlete. So it was fun.
What was your role during the game?
So I was charting plays. I was charting Asala's calls and explosives, run or pass, and what happened on those plays. So that was kind of my role there. Oh, and I was also on rep count for the linebackers. So I had to make sure, you know, certain guys didn't go over certain reps, and I had to keep telling Coach Holland, Johnny Holland, who's just a great person, first of all, kept on him about the reps and all that stuff. And so nothing huge, but a little something.
Which game was that? I don't even know.
It was the Broncos game.
It was the Broncos game?
Yeah.
So you get your iPad and you're communicating and all that, right? A little bit?
No, is that iPad. Pen and paper.
Pen and paper.
You can't have certain electronics you can't have on the field. I can't even wear my Apple Watch down there. Yeah, you can't have anything down there. So
because you can't, like, no, for safety reasons,
no,
security reasons.
Security reasons, yeah. and you know, the sign stealing and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can only have the Microsoft Surface down there for the photos.
Got it.
But you can't even have your Apple Watch.
Really? Okay.
No, you can't even have a Fitbit on.
Okay.
Nothing. And you can't even have it in the booth either. So at 90 minutes before game time, all that has to go off, or else you get fined by
okay.
the NFL.
Wow. Wow. So you did meet John Lynch?
I did.
Is he... what's he like, man? Is he like he still looks good? He's still fit, man.
Yeah, he still looks it. We talked about the Morgan Wallen concert. That's pretty much our conversation, because he had gone to the Morgan Wallen concert because it was right there at Levi. But super nice guy, super super approachable. His son is on staff, on the defensive staff, so I got to know Jake Lynch a lot, who played at Stanford, and now he's a quality control with the Niners. Great family. It's such a great family atmosphere, too, because, you know, Kyle Shanahan's, his kids are running around out there. Salah's kids are running around at practice. They're running routes and walkthroughs and stuff. And it's just such a cool little atmosphere. You know, it's really something nice to see. And the standard is extremely high there. You know, you could tell right when you walk in the building. You know, there's not a lot of fooling around. They're all about business. So, but, yeah, no, John Lynch was a great guy to – just be around with all of them, all welcoming, such great people.
Does it seem like a dream still? Like,
it does,
right?
Yeah, it does. I really haven't had the time to reflect on it too much because it was just hit the ground running when I got back.
Yeah.
But, you know, they checked on me last week to see how we did, you know, a bunch of them. I made a huge connection with Gus Bradley, and I'm looking forward to watching that grow. But it was a great, great,
that's awesome.
Great deal.
That's awesome. We got a few minutes here with Coach Ferris. All right, so I'm curious. You're a very reflective person, but the difference between pros, college, and where you are right now with high school sports, the different chapters of players' lives and what that means. Obviously, it's a different level. You know, you mentioned it's all business, right? When you get to the pro level. Like, where do you see, or how do you even preach that to the kids? Do you reflect on that at all? And it kind of changes your mindset and how you coach your team and how you shape your young men, just regardless of what you see at the next levels?
Well, what you really see a difference in is you see just, you know, well, obviously the maturity of the player, right? So sometimes when high school kids are thinking about other things, they're thinking about how many likes they got on Instagram and whatnot, or what they're going to, you know, maybe something's going on at home. But as you get older, you know, it becomes more of a business, and college is becoming more of a business with the NIL and all that, that aspect. But when you get to the highest level and you're around elite minds such as Fred Warner, there's no rep, there's no moment that's taken for granted. You know, there's nothing as far as like, I remember I was doing the gold digger points, which is where they count the points for practice for tackles and, you know, punch aways and things like that, and Solid prevents, you know, the gold digger ball to him and they get the ball and whatnot. And one of the plays, so D Winters won it, and I was the one who made the cut up and whatnot. And one of the plays was D Winters making a tackle on a play action, and it was for a little bit of a gain. And you know, they're like, he didn't like that was a point that he got. You know, it was like he didn't want that point because it was like he's for a gain. He wanted something better. It's just so competitive. They're so competitive every single day, and they're ultra competitive. I mean, at the elite level of competitiveness. And I just think that sometimes the high school kid and the college kid sometimes gets lost in other stuff because they got to worry about so much other stuff. You're not saying the NFL guys don't. The NFL guys just compartmentalize a little bit better. But their approach to everything in the NFL, from study to practice, I mean, every rep is full speed. Every rep is full speed because you don't know how many reps you're going to get. And they always say, you may got few reps, but you got all of them because you're sitting there on the side mentally locked in, and everybody's mentally locked in. You know, they come up to me, I have the script, what's the call, coach? Boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, they get the call. I think you just see that. I think you don't see that at the high school level. When they're not on the field, they're off talking about, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. They're talking about something, and they're not locked in and focused. And so I think that's the part of the job, too, is you got to get them focused and locked in on the sidelines and make sure that you say, hey, stay locked in. Get mental reps. And the NFL, if you don't do that, you're going to fall behind because
– And you're going to lose your job.
You're going to lose your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a cutthroat business. You could be doing all that, but they need to sign a – you know, a backup quarterback, and now the roster number just says, hey, we got to let you go right now, but we might bring you back, you know. So your film's your resume. Your practice film's your resume, and that's for the coaches too. Johnny said that too. He said, I don't care about all – you could tell me all these titles and this and that. He's like, I want to look – I'll put on the film, and I want to see your kids play. I want to see your guys play, and that's your resume. So they know that's their resume. That's what they're putting out there, and they're trying to feed their family and make generational wealth too. Along the way. So
Adrian Martinez goes from the Jets to the Niners basically in one day too, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you missed him by a couple of weeks. Yeah. But yeah, that's the nature of pro sports. Yosef, I wish we had more time. Got to wrap it up, but always a pleasure to talk to you.
For sure.
Big fan. Got a lot in common. Appreciate you answering texts and all that good stuff. And yeah, good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be on here. Thank you very much.
And we only got one, pop culture reference in your Spider-Man. We didn't even talk about Star Wars or nothing. We're going to rip some cards. We should have ripped some cards next time. All right. Thanks, my friend. Have a great rest of the week. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to bring on Trevor Horn down in Bakersfield. Really good win from Clovis West last night, beating Liberty. What did he see on the field? You're going to listen to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. The Scorpions lead and love it. Tanvir, he is on point. 10 out of 10 on the music choices today. Now I have Trevor Horn on the show. He is the Bakersfield area high school sports analyst. He is one of the great guys in the media world as far as getting information out, and great personality. All right, Trev, how you doing, my friend?
I am absolutely fantastic. Paul, how are you?
Great. Awesome. All right, so Clovis West at Liberty. You were there. You're on the sidelines. You saw what went on. It's a fresh game in your mind. Just kind of walk us through that game. What were the expectations? What were the vibes? How did that game play out?
Well, it was one of those games where you kind of looked at it. It was like, here was a Clovis West team that went down to Huntington Beach and played a top 25 ranked Edison team, very tough, in a 2013 loss. Then you have Liberty, who flew out to a Denver suburb in Colorado last week, had a 45-42 lead over the number four team ranked in the state of Colorado, Mountain Vista, only to lose 49-45. So you had two top 10 ranked teams in the central section battling out in week two, coming off of monster out of area non-league games. So you looked at it and you went, wow, okay, so here's a Liberty team who's got a Michigan State commit at left tackle and two young running backs and a senior quarterback that just threw for 411 yards. Here's a Clovis West team that is stacked front to back with, you know, a national recruit at quarterback in sophomore J.J. Howard. So you're looking at yourself, you're like, okay, well, this is probably going to be an offensive shootout. You just thought that it was going to be both teams shooting it out instead of just one. And that's kind of what happened last night. Howard gets the ball, and he gets aggressive, and he throws an out route. It gets picked off by Dennis Perry, and then Carter Hansen, the sophomore running back for Liberty, runs it in the very next play for 25 yards, and then Clovis West goes on a 36-0 run until Liberty finally gets back on the board with a long touchdown late in the third quarter. And that was just kind of the night. It was, you know, a Liberty team that's already out with their starting safety who got hurt against Mountain Vista last week, and Luke Biamonte, and then you had Brandon Thrasher and Carter Hansen are two of their top DBs, both cramping up throughout the night. And so you had a depleted secondary going against an elite quarterback, and J.J. Howard just kind of picked that defense apart in a 43-14 victory. A very impressive victory for Clovis West, but it was also one of those losses where you go, where does Liberty go from here? Because when you look at the rest of their non-league schedule, it's a gauntlet. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I have a sweeping declaration about J.J. Howard that I'd like to make, and some people may agree with me. Some people are going to completely disagree with me, but do you want to make it?
Well, I mean, people would never disagree with you. My gosh, that's never happened in our life. What are you talking about?
That has never
happened. All right, what do you got? What's this sweeping statement you're about to make?
J.J. Howard, just a sophomore, is the most polished quarterback the Central Section has seen at the high school level since Cody Kessler at Centennial 13, 14 years ago. You got to remember, now hear me out, ladies and gentlemen, you're throwing things across the living room right now. You're honking your horn while you're driving your car. You're mad at me. I get it. But listen to me. What I saw last night was something that I have not seen at the high school level in the Central Section from a quarterback in high school since I moved here from the Sacramento area in 2014. Jordan Love was a late bloomer. He only had one offer, and that was Utah State. And he got better as he got older through Utah State and now with the Green Bay Packers. Josh Allen was a very late bloomer. No offers out of Fireball. Went to Reedley before he went to Wyoming, and now he's probably, you know, the best quarterback in the world. Alec Trujillo, absolutely fantastic high school quarterback. Trent Tompkins, absolutely fantastic high school quarterback. Deegan Rose, phenomenal high school quarterback. But when you look at the full package at just a sophomore, what I saw out of J.J. Howard last night was, to me, the best that the Central Section has seen since Cody Kessler did before he went on to star for the USC Trojans. He has that it factor. He's got the mobility. He's got the vision. He's got the strong arm. And he's got that swagger that you want to see. There was that final touchdown that he threw in the fourth quarter. Question will be throwing up that much, but I'm not in the huddles. I don't know what the coaches are deciding on. He rolls out, throws a dart, just an absolute dart across his field to the front end of the end zone to his wide receiver. He turns around and just gives a little bit of a smirk to the Liberty sideline. Doesn't say anything, just gives a little bit of a smirk. And I'm standing 5 feet away from him when he does this. And he just turns around and just casually jaunts off. It's that X factor that J.J. Howard has as a sophomore. And I watched him play last year in the same game up at Buchanan at Veterans, and he is a totally different beast now than he was 12 months ago. It's Fresno, Clovis, you guys got somebody special in J.J. Howard. Enjoy the next 3 years before he goes off to wherever he chooses to go, because by the time he gets to next summer, he's going to have everybody offering him, because he's phenomenal.
Well, that's probably what he's thinking, right? When he did the smirk 5 feet away from you in the Liberty sidelines, he's probably saying, hey, you guys are going to have to deal with me for this year and two more years after this.
Just, I mean, it was enjoyable to watch, you know. And I'm a Bakersfield area sports reporter, so obviously, you know, I've got more of a vested interest in those here in Kern County than I do outside of. But I also see talent when talent's standing right in front of me and smirking back, and that dude's got talent.
So thinking about some of the other schools up here, Clovis had that really dominating game. Again, their non-league schedule is not as formidable as, say, Central, who lost to Grant. So would you put Clovis West, even knowing what you know about Clovis High and Central, would you put them as contenders?
I put the entire track outside of maybe Buchanan right now. I mean, any one of them can win on any given night. I mean, Central East losing to Grant is whatever. It's kind of like, you know, Liberty playing Oaks Christian next week, or Frontier playing Lincoln out of San Diego in 3 weeks. It's, you kind of just throw those out the window and you say, go play ball, see what happens. But these, I mean, there's some big dogs going on right now. And, you know, it's tough to win a lot of football games. And, you know, with Deegan Rose getting Israel Briggs to add into the fold there for the Cougars, and you see what J.J. Howard has with Juju Sanders and his bevy of wide receivers and their running back. Oof. That guy's a powerful guy, too. I mean, that's a very, very good team for Clovis West. They're going to surprise some people this year.
I think you kind of have
– I'm still waiting for Clovis East to kind of play that, like, blowout win game. These wins over Bullard and Kingsburg are good, but they're not big blowout wins yet. I think the top three right now are Central East, Clovis, and Clovis West. And it might be, you know, Central East is going to get it because I think that they have a little bit more of that – all-around package when you look at the talent on the field. And I think they are still the top dogs until somebody knocks them off. But Clovis and Clovis West right now are knocking on the door.
Clovis East is going to be playing Sanger, and then they play that same Grant team that just beat Central. All right, so we got a couple minutes here with you, Trev. Bakersfield area, like you said, hey, track is dominating so far. So you talked about the Liberty giving up all those points, but got Frontier, right? A lot of chatter about them. I had them ranked way too high, obviously. What's the deal with Frontier right now?
No offensive
identity
that is out of the mouth of their head coach Chris Bandy last night. He goes, we're not gelling on offense right now, and it's crazy to think that when you look at that offensive line, you've got, you know, three future Division I athletes on the offensive line. You've got a New Mexico State commit at quarterback. You got a New Mexico State commit at tight end. You got a Oregon State commit and Malcolm Watkins at wide receiver. And you got two really good running backs in Adrian Walker and Talon Mather. But there's no cohesion. They've scored 14 points in the first two games. Now, albeit Liberty out of Brentwood, very good team. Oak Ridge out of the Sacramento area, very, very, very good football team. But you look at Liberty and Frontier. Frontier's still got to play Clovis next week at home. Then they got to bye. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Lincoln and San Diego. Then they got to play at Clovis North. Liberty's got Oaks Christian coming in next week. Then they're at Buchanan. And then they're home against Central East to finish off non-league. Are both of those teams going to be 1-4, 0-5
right,
going into the
right
season? I mean, you talk about playing up in phase one. Brian Nixon, famed Liberty former head coach, always said phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one is your non-league, and then league, and then the playoffs, right? So you play phase one to get ready for the other two, but at what point do you look at it and go, how do we keep the continuity? How do we keep the mojo going when, you know, we're 0-5 going in October? I mean, we're 1-4 going to October. I mean, I've seen some great teams go 1-4 and go on to, you know, play or win section championships and get into the state playoffs. But, I mean, it takes a strong unit to be able to do that, because you have to keep the mindset of all the whole team going in the same direction. And there's chatter in the locker room, on the field, at home, in the classrooms, in the community. You know, it's all those things that you've got to keep into place as you move forward, as these games start to fall. So it's very interesting. They're both – I mean, those are – the top three strength of schedules right now through the first 2 weeks in the Central section. Central number one, Frontier number two, Liberty number two, Frontier number three. And they're going to continue to stay up there in strength of schedule, because, like I said, what they have over the next 3 weeks is a continued gauntlet. So it'll be again, very interesting to see how Frontier and Liberty finish off and play through the month of September.
Well, Clovis looked really good last night. That game against Frontier next week, that's going to say a lot about both teams. If there's a blowout by Clovis, yeah, that's going to say a lot about Frontier and a lot about Clovis as well. And then, hey, you and I are going to be able to hang out on September 11th when Liberty comes and plays Buchanan at the Vet.
Hopeful.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Still kind of on the fence. But yeah, fingers crossed. There's,
I'll pitch in for gas.
Going on in town that I got to – right. Really concerned. I want to get up there. I'm not 100% as I was before. I've got some obligations in town that I have to kind of reassess before I start getting back out of town.
All right. We'll figure that out. If you come, I'll treat you to a hamburger again. All right, and we'll chop it up.
I would freeze it. Can I get two?
Two cheeseburger. All right, buddy. Good job by you. Good job by you, my friend. Keep grinding down there and keep doing all the great stuff that you're doing.
Hey, man, keep on keeping on, man. You do a great job up there in Fresno and Clovis, man. They should be very appreciative of you. I say that every time, Paul. I love you, bud.
All right, love you too, brother. Talk to you soon. All right, that is a wrap for the show. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Tanvir Singh for producing the show. Great job by him. Tony Gates, Yosef Ferris, and, of course, Trevor Horn. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.